angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful to be alive today and thankful to have the health and strength enough just to get up and get ready and come to church. Lord, it is always a privilege, a blessing, an honor to be able to get with your people in your house. And I thank you for those that are present today. And Lord, we certainly want to be mindful of others that we know would love to be here but are not able. We pray for them, wherever they are, whatever their situation. And Lord, we pray for these requests that have been mentioned today, the spoken and unspoken alike. We ask, Lord, that you have your way in each one of those situations. And I pray now, Lord, that as I try to preach this message that I believe you've put on my heart, I need your strength physically and mentally. I need your strength in every way, Lord, body, soul, and spirit. I pray you'd help me now to say exactly what you want said. And I do pray, Father, that each one of us would have ears to hear and hearts to receive it, and that the message would be an encouragement, that it would be a help, whatever we need. In this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I begin the message, how are y'all temperature-wise? Are y'all hot? You cold? You lukewarm? I saw some fanning, Miss Ruth fanning, and Michelle's fanning. Anyhow, we can turn the air on if y'all need it. I don't want to freeze you out, but I don't want you to burn up either, so just leave it like it is. Okay, then, I gave you your opportunity, so. The title for the message is The Principles of Pillars, or you could just call it Pillars in the Bible, Pillars in the Bible. And I want to get started by saying there are many different pillars mentioned or referenced in Scripture. And when I say pillars, I'm not talking here about the kind you put your head on when you go to bed at night. Those are pillows. Now, in our southern vernacular, we tend to call them pillars, or I do anyhow, but that's P-I-L-L-O-W-S, pillows. I'm not talking about them kind of pillars today. I'm talking about P-I-L-L-A-R-S, those kinds of pillars. And these are objects that usually provide support, strength, and stability. Normally, they hold things up. A word that would be synonymous with pillars is columns, kind of like out on the front. Now, that's obviously a small representation, but out on front, we have some pillars. And those pillars or columns are used to help strengthen and stabilize and support the front of our church. And as I said, there are many pillars mentioned in Scripture. Some are literal pillars that, as I said, support different structures. And then there are other types of pillars, but they are pillars nonetheless. I'm sure you've heard people at time talk about seeing a pillar or a column of smoke. Well, there are those types of pillars as well that are referenced in the Bible. And as strange as it might sound, I want us for the next couple of Sundays to look at some, not all by any stretch of the imagination, but some of these pillars that are found in the Bible. And I want us to see what it is we can learn, or at the very least be reminded of, about the Lord, as well as the lives that He expects from those of us who are saved. And we're going to start out today by looking at two pillars that are mentioned here in Exodus chapter 13, also chapter 14 as well. One is a pillar of a cloud and the other is a pillar of fire. If you look here again at Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 21, you see those two pillars mentioned. Now, these are not the type of pillars that are literal columns that would be supporting the structure, but they are pillars nonetheless. They are columns of things. One is a column of a cloud, and the other is a column of fire. And really, to better understand verses 21 and 22, you have to understand their context. What's going on here is the people of Israel are making their exit. They're making their exodus from the land of Egypt. They've been down there for over 400 years, and for the vast majority of the time, it has been very difficult. They have experienced extreme persecution. They have literally been worked to death, and they have cried out to God for a deliverer, cried out to God for some help from all of the persecution they're experiencing. And Moses was lifted up or raised up by the Lord to be that deliverer. And God sent him down there, and through Moses and his sidekick Aaron, he brought all sorts of plagues on the Egyptians. And if you've ever read through Exodus, you're probably familiar with some of those plagues. They were horrible plagues. One of them I remember was a plague of frogs. Y'all remember that? Where God sends frogs up out of the rivers, and those frogs literally cover the entire land of Egypt. They're all over the place. They're in the houses of the people. They're in their ovens. They're in their beds. Everywhere they look, everywhere they're turned, there's nothing but frogs. That's one of the horrible plagues that God brought on those people. Ladies, can you imagine what it would be like to go to bed tonight? Get on your little nightgown or whatever it is you sleep in and throw back the covers. You're going to just slide in and slide into a bed full of frogs. Wouldn't that be glorious? I'd like to be a fly on the wall and just hear what some of you good saved women had to say about that. Terrible thing. That's just one of them. But he brought many plagues on the Egyptians, the last of which was sending the death angel down into the land of Egypt to kill all of the firstborn of both man and beast. That's what the Bible said. Only the Israelites that had applied the blood of the Passover lamb were spared the loss of their firstborn. The Egyptians lost all of their firstborn, including the Pharaoh. He lost his firstborn. And that was kind of the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. He said, hey, I have finally had enough. The people are sick of it. They're wanting them gone. So they say, look, you Israelites, you can go. You can leave. So when you get here to chapter 13, that's what's happening. Israel is making their exit. They're exiting the land of Egypt, and they're heading out to where God is leading them. And you see here in verses 21 and 22 that as they go, there is in front of them a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night there is a pillar of fire. These two pillars are there before the people of Israel, leading them as they're making their exodus from the land of Egypt. And as I look at these two things and what the Bible says here in chapter 13 and 14, it reminds me of some things that I believe are very important concerning my personal relationship with the Lord, and really any person's relationship with the Lord that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. We're just going to focus on these two pillars and see what we can learn or be reminded of. There's at least four things these pillars show me. First of all, these pillars show me the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. Look again right here at verse number 21. Notice the Bible says in verse 21, and the Lord, now look at it, the Lord went before them by day, notice, in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. It says the Lord was in that pillar of a cloud, and the Lord was in that pillar of fire. Amen. That's what the Bible says. What happens here is the Lord comes down and he indwells this pillar of a cloud and this pillar of a fire. The Lord himself comes down in angelic form according to chapter 14 and verse number 19. There he's called the angel of God. So he comes down in angelic form and he indwells both of these pillars. And he is right there with his people as they're making their journey from the land of Egypt to where he intends for them to go. He's right there with them. Y'all following what I'm saying? His presence is right there with his people as they make their journey. And what that reminds me of, it may not for you, but for me, it reminds me of the constant presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in my personal life. As I live and as I make my journey, and really, that's what the Christian life is. Life in general is that to some extent, but especially the Christian life. That moment in time when you get saved, whenever that is, whether you're young or you're a teenager, or you're middle-aged or an older person, whenever that time is that you trust Jesus Christ, you get saved, you embark on a journey. You're redeemed, you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, amen? That's what's happened just in the not-distant past for these people right here. They had been spared death by the sacrifice of a lamb, amen? That Passover lamb, the blood was shed, and because that blood was applied like it was supposed to be, those people were spared death. And whenever you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever that was, you were spared the second death, which is eternity in the lake of fire, because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right then, you embarked on a journey, didn't you? You started on a journey right then. Look at chapter 13. In verse number 20, it says, and they took their journey, is what it says. This whole thing here, folks, I want you to understand in type, this whole thing is a picture of salvation and the Christian life and all of the stuff that comes with that. So what you have here is a people that have been redeemed by the blood, and now they're on their journey. And that's how it happens. You accept Christ, you get washed in the blood, and you embark on a journey. And that journey will culminate where? In the promised land, amen? One day you're going to be with the Lord in heaven. But that time from when you got saved to the time you are in heaven with the Lord, you know what that is? That's a journey is what that is. It's a journey. Every Christian is on that journey. And as you study Israel and their journey as they went on from this place here, as they left Egypt and headed on toward the promised land, you see that they encountered all sorts of things along the way. They went through all sorts of things. And listen, not everything that they went through was good. Not everything they went through was positive. There was a lot of hardship, a lot of difficult things, a lot of trials, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. They went through all sorts of things along their journey. But guess what? All along that journey, they had the presence of the Lord. The same is true in your life and mine. We're on this journey together. We're in this thing together. This is the people of Israel, the people of God, journeying together. Those of us that are saved, we don't stand alone, do we? Christianity is not about one single Christian. It's about a family of people. It's about the people of God. We're all in this thing together. We're all on a journey headed toward the promised land. And as we're making our journey, we go through all sorts of stuff, don't we? It'd be great if I could stand here this morning and tell you that everything you go through on your journey is positive. Well, that's just not reality, is it? Reality is you go through a lot of hardship. A lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. There's a lot of pain on the journey, friend. A lot of pain. A lot of disappointment on the journey, isn't there? Sometimes there's uncertainty along the journey. I think about Israel as they're traveling along. They got at times where they couldn't find water to drink. They're not sure how they're going to get water for all of those people. And there was times when they got hungry and weren't sure how they were going to feed themselves. A lot of uncertainty. And there's a lot of uncertainty along your journey. Everything's not always crystal clear on the journey that is the Christian life. Sometimes there's uncertainty. But what I'm reminded of here in this and other places in the Bible is that all along my journey, no matter what happens, I have with me the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very moment that I received him as my Savior, you know what he did? Just like the Lord came down and was in that pillar of a cloud and in that pillar of fire, you know what he did when I accepted him as my Savior? He came down and came inside of me in the person of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in me. Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says that it is Christ that liveth in me. Praise the Lord. That's good news, folks. Christ liveth in me. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ dwells in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see this. Look at verse 22. Chapter 13, verse 22. The Lord is there indwelling that pillar of a cloud. He's indwelling that pillar of a fire. And in verse 22 it says, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night. He didn't take his presence away, did he? It was right there. That's the wonderful thing about having the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes in, praise God, he comes in to stay. He is the one that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He doesn't just come to stay temporarily. He comes to stay eternally. Once he comes in, he is there. So that means that all along my journey, no matter what I'm going through, if I'm in the deepest, darkest part of my journey, do you understand? He is with me. If you are saved, no matter where you are on your journey right now this morning, rejoice and be exceeding glad because you have his presence with you. It may be a dark time. It may be a time of uncertainty. It may be a time of difficulty that you find yourself in now. And not to be the bearer of bad news, but if not, if you're up on the mountain, just hang on. You'll join the rest of us in the valley before long. Your times are coming, friend. Nobody stays on the mountain all the time. Nobody does. But no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, whether it's something that's affecting you, it's just something that's happening to you, or it's something that's happening to somebody you love. No matter what the situation, listen, he is with you. And when we all get to that place, that point that we're headed, you know where that is, don't you? If Jesus Christ comes back, now we're holding out for the rapture, amen? That'd be great, wouldn't it? But if the Lord doesn't come, the Bible says we're going to go the way of all flesh. You know what way that is? That's the way of death. Every one of us are headed there, right? We're going to the way of death. That's the way of all flesh if Jesus doesn't come back. But listen, whenever that moment comes, you know what you can take comfort in? That even at that moment, the one that we want to avoid, the reason why we're holding out for the rapture, because none of us want to die. But if that time comes in your life, you know what you can take comfort in? That even at that very moment, you still have his presence with you. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. His presence. Isn't that a blessing? Just his presence. When I think about these two pillars here, it reminds me of his presence in my life. I got to move on. Number two, I tell you something else that these pillars say to me anyway. Not only do they speak to me of his presence, but they also speak to me of his path. His path. Look again at verse number 21. The Bible says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, here it is, to lead them. Notice the way. The way. Do you understand there was a particular way that the Lord intended for them to travel in making their journey from the land of Egypt to the promised land? There was a particular way. And this way wasn't what most people would choose. If you look back up in the previous chapter, or on up in this chapter right here, and even on into the next chapter, you see that there was a different way from the way that they went that would actually have been shorter than the route that the Lord took them. But he didn't want them to go that way. He had his way that he wanted them to go. But he didn't expect them, this is the good news, he didn't expect them to just figure it out on their own. He didn't say, now look, I got you out of Egypt, and I want you to get over here to the promised land. You just figure out how to get there on your own. I'll see you when you get there. That's not how that was. He had a particular way, a specific way that he intended for them to travel along their journey. And what he did is he came down personally and got in that cloud and got in that fire to lead them along the way that he intended for them to go. He had his path for them to travel. And again, he didn't intend for them to just figure it out on their own. Listen, God knows that if he leaves us to ourselves, we'll make a mess out of it every time, friend. The problem is some of us are arrogant. We can't figure that out. We think we know everything. We think we know what's right for our life, what's best for our life, and we can handle it on our own. Listen, if God backed off and didn't give you some leadership and help in your life, you'd be in a ditch before you knew it, friend. You need his direction in your life. He has a way for you to travel. And the good thing is he doesn't expect you to figure it out on your own. He will lead you personally on the path he intends for you to take. And here's the thing about it. We are in this thing collectively. There's no doubt about it. And ultimately, we're all on the same path headed to the same place, right? Ultimately, those of us that are saved. But what I have noticed about the Christian life is that sometimes he leads people differently. Like he has one individual's life take this particular route, and then he has another person's life take another route, and they encounter different things along the way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We don't all have the exact same experiences. My experiences in life are different from Brother Tim and Brother Terry and other people, and vice versa. There's diversity in that respect. Now, again, we're all in it. We're all going to wind up in the same place, but the Lord has his path for each one of us that he intends for us to travel. And I look back over my life and look back to when I was young and how I really didn't have my mind on the Lord so much, and I was sort of mapping out my own life and planning my own way. I can tell you honestly this morning, standing right here, that my life did not go in the direction that I intended for it to go. I had all these plans and these ideas about what I was going to do with my life. I didn't do any of them. Let me just say this. When I was young and growing up, the idea of being a preacher, that wasn't even in the equation. You understand what I'm saying? That wasn't even in my mind. I never sat around and dreamed, well, I can't wait to get older and become a preacher. No. No, that was the furthest thing from my mind. But you know what the Lord did? He led me in his path for my life. He took me down the path he intended for me to go. And if a person will listen to the Lord and submit to him, he'll do the same thing for them. He has a path for your life, a direction he intends for you to go. And he doesn't want you to just wander aimlessly through life, trying to figure out everything and doing just the stuff you want to do. He has that path he wants you to go, and if you'll seek him, then you know what he'll do? He'll lead you down that path. And this is what I know about his path. His path is always the best path, isn't it? Again, I think about my life. Oh, my goodness, I'm not kidding you. I shudder to think where I would be today if I'd have took my path instead of his. If I'd have did what I wanted instead of what he wanted. I honest to God, I'm telling you, I don't even believe I'd be alive. I really don't believe I'd be alive today. It's important that you figure out where he wants you to go and you follow him. He comes down here and he leads them along the path he intends for them to go. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not, listen to me, lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what does it say? And he will direct thy path. Isn't that what it says? You don't think you know it all. You say, Lord, I don't know it all. I can't figure this thing out. If you don't help me, I'll make a mess. I'm just going to lean on you, and I'm asking you. You acknowledge him in all your ways, and God, just like he led Israel, will lead you in your life in the direction that you need to go. I can't help but think about it. It stuck with me all week, Sister Janet. We're doing the testimonies on Sunday night now. And last Sunday night, for those of you that are not with us, Brother Tim and Miss Janet did their testimony, and I don't think Miss Janet mind me mentioning this, but she talked in there about what happened with her brother, who had always been there to help her and take care of her and to kind of guide her along the way in her life during some tough times. And then her brother, he got shot, and he was not able to do anything for himself. And Miss Janet and other family had to step in and really help him out. And I knew that Miss Janet's educational background, or that she had an educational background, I knew that, but I didn't know what it was in. I really didn't. That's what the thing that has stuck with me all week. You know what her background was there? It was helping special needs children. Do y'all get where I'm going with that? Now, there's no doubt she helped a lot of special needs kids, but I'm going to tell you what I believe, okay? Just my opinion here. When God was training her, it wasn't just for those special needs kids. It was to help her brother. That's what I believe. And that thing has stuck with me. And it just reminds me of how God directs our life, and sometimes we don't even know what's going on. We're in it, and we just see in the right then, and we're thinking this, and it's oftentimes not till later on down the road that we figure out what God was doing back here. You know, hindsight's 20/20. You can look back and see now I get it. Now I understand why I went through that. Now I understand why God took me in that direction. It was to prepare me for where I am right now in my life. The Lord does that. If in all your ways you'll acknowledge Him, He'll direct you. Just like He led the people of Israel. I got to move on now. Here's a third one. Not only do these speak to me of His presence and of His path, but also of His provision. His provision. Look at verse 21 again. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, look at these words, to give them light. To give. To give what they needed. You know what that is? That's provision. God knew where these people were. He knew what they needed. Isn't that wonderful? One thing the Bible says that always does my heart good is that He knows what I need even before I ask it. Even before I pray, He knows what I need. Everywhere I am on this journey, He knows right where I am. He knows right what's going on, and He knows exactly what I need. It's the same in your life. He knew where they were. He knew what they needed. They were to travel not just by day, but they at this point were to travel by night as well. They're trying to get out of Egypt. So He didn't want them to stop at night. He wants them to keep on journeying. Well, if they're going to keep walking at night, you know what they got to have? They got to have some light, friend. So you know what the Lord does? He says, I tell you what, I'm just going to take care of that need for them. I'm just going to come down there personally, and I'm going to get right up in a pillar of fire, and I'm going to give my people light so they can see to make their journey. Provision. God provided what they needed here. In the cloud, think about it. You know what that cloud would do as it's with them during the daytime? Amen. You ever been out on one of them hot August days down here in the south? 110 degrees, heat index. And man, you just sweating like a horse. Sun's busting down on you, just burning you up. And all of a sudden, one of them old late afternoon thunderheads starts to build up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, that cloud will come over and block that sun. Boy, don't that feel good? It's such a relief, isn't it? It may not last real long, but while it's there, man, it is a relief. You thank God. How many of you have just stopped before and said, thank you, Lord, for that cloud right there? You appreciate that cloud, don't you? God does that for us. That's what He did here. He provided them relief from the heat of the sun. He provided them through the fire relief from the cold of the night and gave them the light that they needed to dispel the darkness so that they could keep on their journey. He provided for His people. And He did that along the journey. I talked about other things they encountered. When they got to the place where they couldn't find no water, you know what God did? He gave them water. When they needed something to eat, you know what he did? He gave them something to eat. He said, look, just get up in the morning and go out there and there'll be some cornbread lying all on the ground out there for you. That's my interpretation of that. Manna. It's called angels' food in the Bible, is what it's called. He fed them with the food of angels. And all they had to do was get up the next morning, just go out there and get enough for a day until the day before the Sabbath. And he told them to get enough to make sure they didn't have to go back out on the Sabbath and get it that day. Provision all along the way. Can't you look at your life this morning and see the providing hand of Almighty God? How he just provides and he provides and he provides. You go through things, like I said, times of uncertainty, and you wonder where what you need's going to come from. You don't see it. And then all of a sudden, there it is. The Lord provides. As we walk with him and we lean on him and we depend on him and we seek to please him, he gives us the promise in Philippians 4:19 that he will supply all our needs. Provision. When I look at these pillars here, that's what I'm reminded of. I'm reminded of his provision, that I can count on the Lord. Amen. I count on him. Whatever it is, there's no problem too big that God can't handle it. Whatever you need right now, I don't know. Maybe this isn't for anybody in here, but maybe you have a need right now. You're not sure how that need's going to be met. You just keep walking your journey, being faithful to the one that redeemed your soul. And I'm telling you, on the authority of the Bible, somewhere along the way, he's going to provide your need. He's going to come through for you, because that's the kind of God he is. And then last of all, let me give you this. These pillars speak to me of his presence, his path, his provision, but last of all, they speak to me of his protection. His protection. Jump over to chapter 14 now. We read verses 19 and 20. Again, you kind of got to get the context. After they have started their journey and they're heading out, old Pharaoh has a change of heart. God, in fact, intervened and saw to it that he had a change of heart. Him and his servants get to thinking about it and think, well, man, why'd we let them go? We don't need to do that. They're one of our greatest resources. They're doing all the work around here. We need to get them back. So Pharaoh says, get all the men together, the chariots, the horses. We got to go after them. And they take off after them. Going to go get them. The people of Israel see them coming and they get scared. And first thing they do, start blaming Moses. This is all your fault. If you'd have just left us alone, we'd still be in Egypt. Everything would be fine. They forgot that it was them begging God to get them out of Egypt, right? Y'all know how it is. You're going to always be a scapegoat, right? So they blame Moses. Moses says to him, verse 13, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. You just stand still, watch God work. See what he's going to do. How he's going to get you out of this mess, in other words. Yeah, it looks like you're in a mess. You just hang on. God's going to take care of the mess. And you're going to see it with your own eyes. You're going to get to witness it. So this army's coming along here, and you get down to verse number 19. Now, before we look at that, just look back real quick at chapter 13, verse 22. It says, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night. Look at this. From before the people. From before. That means it's out in front, right? The cloud and the pillar is out front. The cloud and the fire is out front. All right, look at what happens here in chapter 14, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. Been in front the whole time, right? Now all of a sudden it leaves the front and it goes behind. Why did God do that? Why did he move the pillar from in front to behind? Who was behind them? Their enemies were behind them. Pharaoh and his soldiers are coming up on them and coming up on them fast. And Moses says, you just stand still and watch what God does here. And what he does is he moves that cloud and that fire that's been in front leading them and providing for them. He takes it from the front to behind and gets between. And remember who's in that cloud and remember who's in that fire. Who's in that? The Lord's in that. So you know what God does? God's been out here walking in front of them, leading them, leading them. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to get back here and I'm going to get between my people and their enemies. And I'm going to take care of them. His protection. God protected his people. I'm telling you, we have a God of protection. He's with us all along. He protects us from our enemies. He protects us from things that would harm us. And oftentimes we don't even recognize and understand or even realize what's happened. I've told you before, I can remember time and time again when Matthew was really little and he was just starting to walk. Well, you know how that is. They stumbling and staggering around all over the place and they're not real cognizant of all the things that's going on around them. I cannot tell you the times when he was little that he'd bend over to do something and he would be fixing to stand up and I knew what was going to happen. You parents, you know what I'm talking about. He was fixing to stand up and bust his head on a table or a chair or something. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I didn't say nothing to him. I'd take my hand and I'd put it between his head and that table, and when he stood up, his head would hit my hand. He had no clue what his daddy did for him. But you know what I was doing? I was protecting him from danger he wasn't even aware of. He didn't even know what was going on. I'm going to tell you, only the judgment seat of Christ is going to reveal how many times our Father has put his hand over our head and protected us from danger we didn't even see coming. We didn't even know it. To this day, standing here, there's no telling how many times my Father has just put his hand between my head and the danger he knew was coming my way. And he protected me. He's kept me alive. He's done the same thing for all of us. He protects us from that physical harm. He protects us in every way. He protects us from the devil. Listen, if the devil had his way, every one of us would be dead now. He'd kill every last one of us. The only reason, listen to me now, the only reason why you're not dead now is because your Father has protected you from your enemy, the devil. It's the only reason you still live today. There's his protection. To me, the greatest thing of all, out there in eternity, there is a lake that burns with fire. And it's going to burn forever and ever. And every person that goes off into that is going to suffer forever and forever and forever. Listen to me. Those of us that are saved, we don't have to worry about that. Because we got our Savior standing between us and that lake of fire. We don't have to worry about it. His protection. When I look at these pillars here, they remind me of his presence in my life that's always there. His path for my life that is always right. His provision for my life that I can always count on. And his protection that's going to go with me until I arrive safely at my destination. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for the great privilege that we have to be in church. Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are, for everything you mean to us, everything you do for us. Without you, we're nothing. We're just hopeless, helpless. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.